Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 163, recorded Friday, May 8th, 2020. This is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler. It's more about the journey than the destination. Two topics on this edition of the Travel Commons Podcast: the new world of travel insurance and getting medical help on the road. Coming to you not from the road, but from the Travel Commons studios in Chicago, Illinois, probably 10 pounds heavier, half of which is beer, but that would be my doing, and the other half being baked goods, courtesy of Irene. While coronavirus restrictions are beginning to ease in some parts of the U.S. and Europe, everything is still locked down pretty tight here on the shores of Lake Michigan. So my travels since the last episode have mostly been between the kitchen and the couch, and occasionally out in search of carbohydrate comfort foods, to grocery stores in an endless and fruitless search for King Arthur bread flour, and running a circuit of Chicago microbreweries using curbside no-contact pickups to collect four packs of whatever's new this week. A couple of breweries actually are doing curbside sales of sixth-barrel kegs. Tempting, but seems a bit of overkill for a three-person flat, though Amazon claims they can get me a kegerator next week. So that, I don't know, kegerators must be on Amazon's essential items list. But with the lockdown easing in non-urban places like the exurbs of Nashville, I'm starting to prep for my first post-corona trip, the one that I talked about in the last episode, a drive down to Spring Hill, Tennessee to see my mother. Got the oil and tires changed on the BMW to avoid any unplanned stops. Figure I'll pack a lunch, which will let me do the drive with just one gas stop. I also tuned up my Trek Madone road bike, cleaned and lubed the gears, rewrapped the handlebars. I'm going to take that down with me. Haven't been able to ride much after Chicago's mayor shut down the lakeshore path. And so I'm thinking, you know, riding solo on small country roads, you know, an hour south of Nashville would seem to be a pretty good match for social distancing criteria. All this spare time has allowed me to be a bit more planful, as one client used to say, one of those ugly adjective constructions meant to turn an activity, we need to do more planning, into a quality. We need to be more planful. But anyhow, whether the lockdown allows me to be more planful about the podcast or to do a bit more planning, it has. Which for this episode means you'll hear less of me and more of informed people. First up is Eric Josiewicz, an analyst at insurancequotes.com. Eric and I did an old school remote interview using Skype instead of Zoom. Imagine that. Talking about what travel insurance looks like in the post-corona world. And then Alan Marco returns with his wife, Chris, following up on our conversation in the January travel planning episode. Following up with a story from their Southeast Asia sabbatical last year about how they tracked down a doctor in Thailand when his wife became ill, not his wife becoming ill, but tracking down medical assistance when we're far away from home. That's a topic that could weigh on us more when we venture out into the post-lockdown pre-coronavirus world that, you know, I think we're going to be in for the next at least 18 to 24 months. But right now, focused on my Tennessee trip, I think I'm less concerned about finding a doctor and a bit more concerned about reconnoitering open drive-through Taco Bells along I-65. So following up, video conferencing is having its moment during the pandemic. Maybe it's because people are looking for more of a connection in their lockdown isolation, or maybe it's because we know that everyone is sitting at home in front of a video-equipped laptop and has no excuse not to video. You know, nothing like, well, can only call in because I'll be running through airport security then. I tell you, I haven't done a straight conference call in like forever. Doing interviews for this episode, I actually hit the video conferencing trifecta. So, like I said, Skype with Eric, FaceTime with Alan and Chris, and then Zoom to be on the other side of the microphone on Steve Frick's Back and Gone Again podcast. This month, I actually click over the 15th year of Travel Commons. I started it May of 2005. And here in this excerpt, Steve and I talk about that first episode.
Actually, first episode was May 15th in 2005. And early on, it was a weekly podcast because I actually had a backlog of content to crank out weekly podcasts. Nowadays, it's fallen off to a monthly cadence, though I will tell you that that this travel lockdown is even threatening that a little bit.
So. And I have listened since episode one. I actually went back into the archives. Your first show was called, do you remember what it was called?
Ooh, no, I don't. I would have to go look at that.
It was called the First Travel Commons Podcast.
Well, there you go. Okay.
And I actually posted a comment. I said, I can relate to your TSA stories. The lady at BWI this afternoon was a total power trip. You must remove your, remember this, shoes and jacket.
Yes.
And she would announce this every few minutes. And I was on a four-hour delay at BWI. But what really intrigued me was the fact that you recorded in the hotel bathrooms and that it, there was just something about that, that I go, you know, this guy, he's got some swagger to him, and all road warriors, we all kind of congregate together.
Yeah. Yeah. Preferably not in hotel bathrooms.
No.
But yeah.
What did you start recording on? Do you remember?
I had, what was it? It was like a little MP3 player, like iRiver.
That's it. Yeah, they were iRivers. Yep.
Yeah, it was like the damn thing was like 2 or 3 inches long. And so the first couple of podcasts, it was just with that microphone. You can tell between the reverb in the bathrooms and just the awfulness of that microphone. The audio content of those early podcasts makes my ears bleed. So then a big step up for me was going to Radio Shack and buying a little condenser mic and actually plugging it into the, you know, into the mic feed.
Oh,
and
wow.
That was a quantum level improvement in quality.
We had a lot of fun that Saturday afternoon telling travel stories and talking about our current life off the road. Give it a listen if you're so inclined. There's a link in the show notes for this episode, as well as on the Travel Commons Facebook page and in the Travel Commons Twitter feed. Kate Rose left a comment on the Facebook page under the April episode. Kate said, I don't travel nearly as much as you do, Mark, but I enjoy your podcasts. Thanks, Kate. These are unprecedented times. We arrived home from a month-long rail trip from Italy up to Sweden at the end of January, just as this whole thing was blowing up. And now people, including us, are locked down all over the world. Unbelievable. And here you are with plenty of time to write, but no place to go. We are on week 4 of social isolation in Western Australia, and the novelty is wearing off just a little. But it seems to be working, so all for the greater good. Thanks for keeping up with the storytelling and letting a crack of life into our home isolation. Stay safe. Well, Kate, thanks for that note. I really appreciate it. Sounds like you got out of Italy just in time. I mean, if I remember correctly, they started locking down Italy in mid-February. Glad you made it back home safely. And actually, from the news coverage, it sounds like Australia and New Zealand have been doing the best in crushing the COVID curve. So it sounds like your social isolation is going to lift a little quicker than mine. In that same April episode, when we talked about post-corona trip planning, I said I thought that the first post-lockdown trip that most people would take would be a car ride, more flexibility, easier social distancing. Turns out I was right, at least according to the company Arrivalist. They call themselves a visitation intelligence company. They've started publishing a daily travel index measuring consumer road trips of 50 miles or more, and they do this using data drawn from GPS signals. So road trips on Friday, May 1st, were almost back to their pre-pandemic levels of February, with the number of trips in the 100 to 250-mile range actually higher than February's number for the first time since the lockdown started. You can go to Arrivalist's website and play with the data yourself or read an analysis by Focusrite, a travel research firm. Links are in the show notes and in my Twitter feed. I got yet another email survey, this time from United, asking me what would make me comfortable to fly again and to rank some of their plans. I have to tell you, for me, it's pretty easy. I'm not excited about standing in a packed gate area, hearing the gate agent say, this is a completely full flight, and then having to spend 2 to 3 hours shoulder to shoulder with a complete stranger, in effect letting that person into my family's corona exposure space. A couple of weeks later, and I'm not implying causation, only correlation, all the major U.S. airlines announced that passengers and crew would have to wear masks, that they'd be moving to a strict back-to-front boarding scheme to reduce the number of passengers passing one another in the both in the gate area and in the aircraft aisle, and that they're blocking or not booking the middle seats, reducing capacity from what had been running over 80% at the beginning of the year down into the 50s and 60s. It was then interesting to watch what happened after Frontier CEO did a round of TV interviews at the beginning of this week, saying that they too would block the middle seat if a passenger bought a more room seat for at least $39. But then yesterday, after getting a blizzard of red challenge flags from Washington, Frontier reversed course. Just kidding. It was never our intent, they said, to profit from safety. They said, we simply wanted to provide our customers with an option for more space. Yeah, so there you see Frontier continuing to position their brand sort of as the Ryanair of the U.S. And hey, if you've got any travel stories, questions, comments, tips, rants, the voice of the traveler, send them along, audio or text comment to comments, COMMENTS, at travelcommons.com. You can send a Twitter message to M. Peacock, post your thoughts on the Travel Commons Facebook page or our Instagram account at Travel Commons, or you can always post them on the website at travelcommons.com. So the first topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is, it's a new world of travel insurance. Eric, thanks for joining us on the Travel Commons podcast. Eric, could you just give us a little background on yourself?
My name is Eric Josewitz. I'm an insurance analyst at Insurance Quotes. We publish in-depth studies, data, and analysis related to auto, home, health, life, and small business insurance. And my role is to study the insurance industry and provide tips and advice and insights that are relevant to consumers and small business owners.
Thanks, Eric. The reason I asked you to join us today is in the past couple of episodes, we've been talking about travel planning. If we continue this thread, what do travelers need to think about from an insurance standpoint, kind of in the upcoming post-lockdown but pre-coronavirus vaccine world, which, you know, depending on who you read, we're going to be in for the next 18 to 24 months?
Travel insurance was kind of a nice to have pre-pandemic, except in cases of very, very large and elaborate trips where the investment and potential loss was substantial. And I think coming out of this, travel insurance is much more important. And there's really two things that, travel insurance gets you. One is protection for cancellations that might occur before you actually take the trip, which obviously with the level of uncertainty, that's pretty important. Then the second thing, travel insurance provides benefits if things happen while you're on the trip, you know, ranging from interruptions and delays to medical issues that may pop up while you're actually traveling.
Eric, when people are looking and thinking about travel insurance going forward, what are some of the key things that they need to look for and think about, given, you know, maybe in the past it was kind of a nice to have, it was a checkbox that showed up on the bottom of a website that three quarters of us ignored. And now we're going to pay a lot more attention to that.
No, I think that's a great question. And I'm glad you mentioned checking the box or not checking the box before. I think, you know, as this crisis started to build and spread from the rest of the world into the U.S., you know, I talked to a lot of people that had travel insurance but didn't actually know what it covered because they had just checked the box. And so I think one thing that needs to happen moving forward is travelers need to actually look at the specific coverage and specific exclusions associated with a travel insurance policy before they purchase it. And so those exclusions, you know, in many cases turned out to include communicable diseases, turned out to use case, you know, to include cases where, for example, the U.S. State Department has issued travel warnings or travel bans. Many people were also surprised to learn that if they decided to cancel a trip because they were afraid of traveling to an area that, you know, had higher risk, that their travel insurance didn't actually cover cancellation in cases of fear. And so one thing I would encourage everyone to look into is what's called a cancel for any reason rider or endorsement on their travel insurance policy. And, you know, what that in most cases will buy you is the ability to cancel for any reason, no questions asked. You know, when you're traveling, what you want to look at on the travel insurance policy is to make sure that, you know, any medical issues or interruptions or delays that could occur while you're traveling are covered, even though, you know, there's been a declaration that this is a pandemic by the World Health Organization. There have been these warnings by the U.S. State Department. Make sure that those things are not specifically excluded in terms of the coverage that you can receive.
Eric, as people need to read the coverage more closely now, any tips on how they should click through or where they ought to look for guidance on those terms?
Well, I've had people say to me that they're not able to easily find the specific terms and conditions when they're using the click-through form on, you know, a booking website. And so if they feel that they can't easily access those terms and conditions, I would encourage them to actually search separately for travel insurance policies. And there are major carriers that offer travel insurance coverage on a regular basis who have, you know, packages of policies available for different types of travel. And they do have good frequently asked questions pages on their websites. They do have clearly outlined terms and conditions.
Searching using the control F function on your browser for things like communicable diseases. Try saying that three times fast.
Yeah,
and cancellation for any reason, as you mentioned before, is probably probably some good search terms. Eric, are you seeing any trends in pricing and coverage and riders? Has the travel insurance market reacted to COVID-19 coronavirus yet, or is that still a work in progress?
Well, many companies have stopped offering travel insurance temporarily. And so, you know, one of the indications that it's perhaps safe to travel again is going to be the ability to actually purchase travel insurance coverage at that time. Now, there are certain companies that are continuing to offer policies, and many of those policies, in fact, actually, you know, don't have exclusions in the case of communicable disease, but they, you know, are pretty explicit about what they do and don't cover right now. So that, yes, the insurance companies are reacting to this crisis in near real time.
Eric, thank you very much for joining us on the Travel Commons podcast. Great, great insights, good information, good suggestions. Again, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure, Mark. Have a great week.
You too. Take care. The second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is getting medical help on the road. Back in the January episode, longtime Travel Commons listener Alan Marco talked about the planning he did for the 9-week Southeast Asia sabbatical he and his wife Chris took last year. Fast forward now 4 months, and healthcare on the road will now become much more important when traveling in the post-lockdown, pre-vaccine world. So let's continue our conversation with Alan, joined now by his wife, Chris, to talk about how they thought about getting health care when they were half a world away from home. It started with the research before they left home.
We had to think about it a little bit before we left, just because such a long trip. We wanted to make sure our insurance coverage, like where were we going to get insurance coverage? Were we going to have to buy supplemental coverage being overseas? We did a bunch of research into that.
As you kind of unpacked it, you found out you had the coverage. You had the coverage from your existing.
So you have to see, you know, the exclusions and, you know, because there's horror stories about
it. There's several parts to it. There's the coverage that you have if you have some sort of injury or severe illness. There's the evac insurance in case you need to come home and things are really bad. And then there's the run-of-the-mill things that happen on the road where you may just need to see a doctor and not necessarily go to a hospital. Or do I just need some medication?
San Francisco has a great adult travel clinic here. They see everything. Prior to leaving, we had several meetings at the travel clinic with them to get our shot protocol. And they asked specifically what our itinerary was going to be. And even though ours was a little loose, we kind of gave them our basic path. And they have wonderful documentation, each country and up to the minute, you know, World Health Organization statistics on where the malaria zones are. So we bought a lot of stuff up front. We had it with us. Luckily, we didn't have to use everything.
So the places we traveled had a very robust system of pharmacies. And the pharmacists had great information. And where we were traveling, just about any drug that you could get here over the counter or through a prescription was available by walking into a pharmacy. And it was usually the generic version. And we would Google what we needed. And then we would find the active ingredient and we would take a screenshot and walk into the pharmacy and say, this is what we're looking for. And they'd say, how many?
One time I was in Paris and I walked in, I asked the pharmacist for ibuprofen. And the pharmacist looked at me a little funny and I'm like, no, I know it's ibuprofen. I know what I want. And so I wrote it out and then showed it. And she said, oh, ibuprofen. It's like, yeah, that. Okay, got that. So even when I knew that, even when I knew the right term, the pronunciation got me. And so again, kind of writing it down and being able to show that written is probably a little safer. Now, a lot of what you needed, you were able to solve self-serve with pharmacists. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you had to find a doc for Chris, I think, for you. So what was that Easter egg hunt like?
Well, I've had back problems for well over 15 years and was in pretty good shape before we left. And as we went through the trip, I was managing them. Everything was fine. But we were carrying these heavy backpacks. We were traveling on buses and tuk-tuks. And we were hefting a lot of weight. And I could tell that my back was slowly getting worse. We were on an island in Thailand, and we got up to go for a walk one morning, and I could barely walk and was in excruciating pain.
It got really bad to the point that we started talking, maybe we should find a way to get home from here. We still had more than 2 weeks left in our trip. But at first, we should look to see if we can go to a hospital, or as you're driving around these islands, you see a lot of clinics. Unfortunately, it was a Saturday morning, so being from the U.S., I'm thinking we're not going to be able to get into a hospital or a clinic, or we might have to wait. But we got back to the hotel room, and I just Googled health clinic, Kolanta Beach, and a clinic that was literally a mile down the road from our hotel, and they had Saturday hours. This was about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I pulled up their website, and there was a Facebook link, and I wanted to look at different reviews, and there were some reviews there, and they were quite favorable, and they had Facebook Messenger, so I'm like, what the hell? Facebook Messenger had typically answers in 1 to 2 hours. I'm like, I'm going to give it a shot.
Why not, right? Because a lot of times dealing with English as a second language with other folks, written is a lot better than trying to do it verbally on the phone.
Yeah. This doctor, she was definitely a jack of all trades. She was in the perfect place. And so I literally got a ping back 10 minutes later and said, you know, wow, we can take you. This was 9:30 in the morning. I heard back from them and they're like, you can come in at 11:30.
And it was literally a little office in a strip mall and you take off your shoes and you go in and there were some other Westerners in there waiting for the doctor. So we go in, I tell her what's going on. I tell her about my history. And she said, what is it that I can do to help you? And I said, I need something to help me manage this pain so that I can walk and travel. And she said, great, I can do that for you. So she pulls out this gigantic needle and said, would you like a pain shot? And I said, yes, I would. So she gave me a pain shot and then she prescribed 3 different kinds of drugs. And she said, take this one if it really hurts. Take this one plus this one if it really, really hurts. And take this one plus this one plus this one if it's excruciating. And I said, great. So I walked away with three baggies.
Yeah. Her assistant basically took down from the shelf like the jar of 5,000 tablets of each of these and put them in a small baggie, pick and scratch on it. But yeah, like I said, these were, you know, prescription grade that she was just handing out to us and, you know, gave us clear instruction. We were back in our hotel by 12:30. So it was basically 9:30 to 12:30. And we started thinking about this later on. It's like, if this happened to us on a Saturday at home, how many stops, how long would it have taken us to coordinate the same exact diagnosis and getting the prescriptions and being back home? It probably wouldn't have happened on a Saturday.
And then did you just pay with a credit card or with cash or what?
I had asked, you know, do you take Visa? And they're like, cash or Visa? That was part of my initial conversation on Facebook. Yeah, Visa, boom. You know, and it was
$100.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you end up filing that with your insurance back home or just say, forget it? It's just not worth the hassle.
I'm sure we could have. I didn't even think about it.
I think that would have been out of network. I think.
It was actually a really good experience in the end if you have to go to a doctor, and we walked away being really impressed.
Yeah.
Chris and Alan, thanks very much for telling us that story. I think there's some good lessons to be learned on that one.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 163. Thanks to all the guests on today's show, Eric, Alan, Chris, and of course, thanks to Steve for making me a guest on his show. I really appreciate the help with the content when I'm not traveling to generate my own. I hope you all enjoyed the conversations and hope you decide to stay subscribed. You can find the Travel Commons podcast on SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Alexa, iTunes, and Spotify. The links, along with the RSS feeds, are on the right-hand side of the Travel Commons website under the heading Subscribe. Right below that is the social media section. All the links to the Travel Commons Facebook page and Twitter and Instagram feeds are right there. If you've already subscribed, how about leaving a review on one of those sites? If you have a story, thought, comment, gripe, the voice of the traveler, send them along, text or audio file to comments, COMMENTS at travelcommons.com or mpeacock on Twitter. Write them on the Travel Commons page on Facebook, the Travel Commons Instagram site. Post them on our website at travelcommons.com. Thanks to everyone who has taken the time to send in email, post comments on the Facebook page like Kate, send in tweets, or post comments on the website. I really appreciate it. And until the next time, stay safe, and thanks for stopping by the Travel Commons. Bye now.